We're looking today at 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. The book of 2 Peter is both an exhortation and a warning. It's a warning because there were false teachers that were threatening these Christians, and that false teaching could cause them to fall. And so the exhortation that Peter gives to prevent that falling is to grow. In order to ward off this false teaching and to keep from falling from grace, they needed to grow. And Peter had told them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the truth before, because in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, he said, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." The Word of God causes us to grow in the faith. Now he's telling these people in this second letter that they need to especially grow because of this danger. And when we think of growing in the faith, we might tend to think of learning more, of advancing in knowledge, of topics perhaps that we've never studied before. Well, that's a part of growth, because the Bible says in Hebrews 6, verse 1, that we are to go on to perfection and not have to lay again the foundation. But here, Peter is going to show that growth in Christianity also demands that we go back to certain things that we already know to make sure that our foundation is secure in our Christian life, but also because these things that he's going to talk to us about are so deep and they affect so much of our lives. And so many people call these virtues that we're going to study the Christian graces. And here's what the Bible says about them. Let's begin reading in verse 5. "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall." Now let's go back to verse 5, and let's notice some words that Peter uses. He says to give all diligence to add these things. Make every effort. Do your very best to make sure that you have these things in your life. And we need to do this with every part of the Christian life, and especially to make sure that we have these things that Peter specifies in these verses. So make every effort and give all the attention that you can to put these things in your life. He says to add these things. Notice verse 5, "Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith." That means to supply or to furnish. Now that shows several things about the Christian life as well. It shows that what he's talking about here is a choice. Growth is a choice. It is a decision that you make. Now God helps us, but we must make an effort. We have to decide to grow. It doesn't just take place automatically. And something else that this means is that Peter did not believe in salvation by faith alone. He didn't say, "Well, you believe, and that's all that's necessary, so don't be concerned about anything else." Peter was not content. He was not satisfied with the fact that these people had faith. He said, "You need to add to your faith." So faith is the foundation. It has to be there first. This conviction, this assurance, and the knowledge involved in this faith has to be the foundation upon which we build. And the first thing that he mentions that we are to add to our faith is virtue. The word virtue comes from a word which means moral excellence, moral goodness. Christians are to have higher morals than the world has. We are to have moral courage. We are to have moral conviction. We are to have moral principles. Now, what does this involve? What are some details or some specifics that will help us to apply what he's talking about here and that will help us to see whether we have added virtue to our lives? Well, there are many passages that will help. Obviously, we're to avoid the works of the flesh that Paul discusses in Galatians 5, verses 19 through 21. But another passage that will help us is Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. That is chapters 4, 5, and 6. Because about midway in Ephesians 4, Paul begins to talk about the difference between the life that we live now as Christians and the life that we live before we were baptized. And so he talks about the old man of sin and the new man in Christ. And here's what he says specifically that we're not to do. He says in Ephesians 4, verse 25, to put away lying. In verse 26 and 27, he says, don't lose your temper. Control your anger. Be angry, but don't sin. In verse 28, he says, don't steal. In verse 29, he says, to avoid bad language. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. In verse 31 and 32, he says to put off all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and be kind one to another and tenderhearted and forgive one another. As you go into Ephesians chapter 5, he says that we are to walk in love, that we're not to commit fornication and uncleanness and covetousness, that we're not to engage in filthy talk or foolishness in any way of that kind. The Bible goes on to say that we're not to fellowship, we're not to go along with evil. Not only are we not to participate in it individually, but we're not to encourage people who are guilty of it. In fact, we are to reprove them. In Ephesians 5, verse 11, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And then as you continue reading in Ephesians chapter 5, you'll find in verse 18 that he says not to be drunk with wine. He tells wives to submit to their husbands. He tells husbands to love their wives. In chapter 6, he tells children to obey their parents and servants to obey their masters. Now, this is moral excellence. This is a good example, a good section in the New Testament about moral courage and moral goodness. Now, this is the meaning, and this is just a short example of what is involved in virtue. So no matter how long you've been a Christian, you need to keep working on being a virtuous person. Add to your faith virtue. The next thing that he said to add is to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. Add knowledge to your faith. Add the understanding and the wisdom of God. The understanding of the Bible. And remember that he says to give all diligence to know more and to have this knowledge. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we have a similar exhortation of Paul when he says, study, that is, give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so there are no shortcuts. There is no easy, quick way to get the knowledge of the Bible that you need. It takes time, it takes effort, it takes study and meditation and reflection. So don't be satisfied with the knowledge that you have of the Bible. Don't be content with knowing a few basics about the Bible. Learn as much as you can. Grow as much as you can. Go to the Bible as often as you're able to and read and study the Bible. The Scriptures say in this passage that we are to add to our virtue knowledge, the knowledge of God and the knowledge of God's will. Then Peter says to add to your knowledge temperance. The word temperance means self-control. This is often overlooked. It is seldom really appreciated even by Christian people. And oftentimes we fail to understand that this grace or virtue of self-control covers many different parts of your life. It is very needed, and it is extremely important to have. What do we mean by self-control, and why is this so important? Well, when you look at your life, there are many things in your life that you need self-control with. For instance, when you get mad and want to get even, you need self-control. When you lose your temper and you want to say something you shouldn't, you need temperance or self-control. When you don't like somebody and you feel like saying something petty, then you need self-control. When you're curious and you're tempted to get into somebody else's business, you need self-control. When you see something on the internet that you shouldn't, you need self-control. When you see something on TV that you shouldn't, you need temperance. When you feel good about yourself and about what you have and about what you've accomplished, and you start looking down on other people, you need self-control. When you want to buy something that you know that you can't afford, you need self-control. When you feel hurt because you don't have what somebody else has, and you start to get jealous, you need self-control. When you drudge up the past and you feel regret and guilt over things that you can't change, you need self-control. You need temperance. When you get anxious and afraid about what might happen and you start to worry, you need temperance or self-control. When you've been addicted to alcohol or some other drug before you were converted and you crave that drug, then you need self-control. If before you were a Christian you stole and you're working at a place where you're tempted to steal again, you need self-control. When you're having so much fun in life that you're tempted to keep enjoying it to the point of neglecting prayer and Bible study and even the worship of God, you need some temperance or self-control in your life. And there are many other examples that you could think of. So the Bible says to add to your knowledge temperance. And to temperance, the Bible says, add patience. Patience is steadfastness. It is constancy. It is endurance. One Greek lexicon defines it as, in the New Testament, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So patience is not just waiting. And it's not simply waiting through something that is aggravating. Patience in the Bible is holding on to one's faith and not giving up in the face of severe trials and severe afflictions. The Bible says in James 5, verse 11, you have heard of the patience of Job. Job was a patient man because he did not give up. He would not surrender his faith. Now, Job got aggravated. He became very frustrated. He became even angry at God, but he never gave up. That is the meaning of patience in the Bible. The Bible says in Luke 18, verse 1, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And ironically, patience enables us to endure trials, and enduring those trials gives us even more patience. Because the Bible says in James 1, verse 3, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, in the next lesson, we're going to talk about the fact that we're to add to our patience godliness, and then brotherly kindness, and then, finally, love.